The following is a throwback episode of Bound by Books, originally broadcast on October 27th, 2014. Enjoy.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported, hands-on radio for Green and Columbia counties. I'm Antonia. I'm 14, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Emily. I'm from Hudson. I'm an adult and the director of the Hudson Area Library.
Yay! So, Emily.
That's me.
Yeah, that's her. And usually Gina and Ingrid and, like, a bunch of other people. I could go on and on, but usually there's about, like, three of us or two. Anyway, and myself, yeah? Yeah, we're here talking about books. Books we love, books we're currently reading.
All that good stuff.
Yay! You know it, Emily.
I do.
So today we's gonna be talking about books. Surprise! I know, it's crazy, right? And we're going to do scary things. Ooh. Spooky, scary skeletons. Okay. Anyway. Yes. Because it's Halloween coming up. Yay. And most people, like, had Halloween stuff going on, like, last weekend. Or, like, because they like to do stuff before. Mm-hmm. Even though this year Halloween is going to be on a Friday, so you could technically have your Halloween party.
You could have like 2 weekends of Halloween if you wanted.
Ho-ho!
But some people think November 1st is just too late.
Exactly. That's
ridiculous. I don't know where you fall on that. But
I think Halloween day and Halloween night is fabulous. Good time, yeah? And so, because so many people celebrated it like over this past weekend, I was in New York City over the weekend, yeah? And I saw a bunch of people in costume, but I didn't specifically go, like, to see, like, people in costume. There was just people, like, randomly walking down the street dressed up because they were going to and from Halloween parties or whatever, and it was wonderful. But one of the things that I did on Halloween was go and see a thing that was marvelous, and this, actually, the people in what I saw were a lot less dressed up than the people on the street, which was cool. Anyway, what it was The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime on Broadway, and it was marvelous. And I've talked about that book before on this show, but this is definitely related to our scary-themed Halloween show because it started with a murder.
Dun-dun-dun!
And the cover of the book is orange. Therefore, it is Halloween-related.
And you can dress up as a dog for Halloween if
exactly.
you want. And there's also a dog on the cover.
You could dress your kid up as a dog.
You could dress your dog up as
something. You could dress your dog up. Exactly. That's another thing I did in New York City. I saw dogs dressed up. The dog dress-up parade, yeah. It was really sad, actually. Well, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, yes, it is about a dog. And you're like, but I thought you said it started with a murder. Yes, it was the dog that got murdered.
No!
And that wasn't like a spoiler because in the first like paragraph it already explains that. So there's this boy named Christopher, and he is a little bit, more than a little bit. He has like disabilities, yeah? And he's writing this book, and it's a really cool style. And they actually managed to do it in the show as well, pretty well, without directly, like, reading the book. They captured his, like, little quirky writing style really well. And the book also has a lot of pictures, but they're, like, graphs or charts or whatever or drawings that he's made. He's like, I walked over to that house, and then he has, like, a little map of his street and which house he went to. And they did that really well in the show, too, because the entire stage was, like, this blackboard thing. Hmm. And it was all, like, a grid. And he would have chalk or whatever it was, and he would draw the pictures. Like, this is the house that I went to. So there wasn't... They only used, like, 4 props. There was, like, a backpack, a sleeping bag, and, like, a couple wooden white... Well, I don't know what they were made out of. White boxes, yeah. And then everything else was just drawings and this grid, and it was really cool. It was wonderful.
Was it pretty similar to the book, or did they change stuff up at all?
No, it was pretty much exactly the same as the book. Well, I read the book a little while ago, so I don't remember it, like, that well. But
nothing jumped out as
nothing.
A big divergence.
Yeah. even at the end of the book, there's kind of like this little like after part, because one of the things that's happening in the book is the kid is going to take his A-level exams for math, and he's really excited about it. Yes, he's like, yay, math exams, yeah. Oh, that's another scary element, math exams.
No!
Exactly. So at one part that I probably my favorite part of the entire show was what happened in the book is he's taking his A-level exams and he's like, and this is how I solved the equation. And he's like, actually, never mind. That would be boring for readers. I'm not going to tell you about it now. And then at the end of the book, there's this whole super long thing, like 5 pages of how he solved this one equation. And it's like a really complicated equation. And then in the musical, or there wasn't actually a lot of singing, which was different for Broadway.
Do they sing about math?
Yeah. No, there wasn't actually any singing, but there was still like a musical element and choreography and dancing and stuff. So he's partway through, he's, you know, taking his exam and he's like, and I'm going to solve this equation. And then someone's like, bro, don't tell us about how you solved the equation now. And he's like, okay. And then at the very end, like, everyone's bowed and stuff, and then he runs back out, and he's like, this is how I solved the equation, and he solves, like, the whole thing, and it's really neat. So it's, like, literally exactly like the book, and it was marvelous, and it made me very happy.
Very nice. I'm glad you got to do that.
And you know what else is orange?
What?
The cover of Emily's book.
One of them.
One of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I think I want to talk about an Agatha Christie one instead, though.
No, Emily.
No?
Fine, okay.
I'll start with Agatha Christie. If we have time, I'll get to this one.
The orange.
The really scary one.
Okay.
Figured we'd start with the not-so-scary stuff.
Okay. Well, we'll gain scariness throughout the show.
Because I was thinking, Agatha Christie's mystery, it's not, like, horror. Mm. It's not that you might get scared. I don't know. You might. But I actually was looking at quotes from Dylan Thomas today, because it's his 100th birthday.
Hooray! Happy 100, Dylan.
And I found a quote that I liked, where he says, poetry is not the most important thing in life. ... I'd much rather lie in a hot bath reading Agatha Christie and sucking sweets. And I liked that. I thought that was kind of random of a quote to come across, especially because I had just finished reading an Agatha Christie book and was thinking about starting another one.
It's a wonderful quote. Yeah. I would much rather lie. Yeah, definitely.
And the book that I recently read is called Cat Among the Pigeons. Ooh. And it's called Cat Among the Pigeons, a Hercule Poirot mystery. And he's I forget where he's from, but he's one of the detectives that Agatha Christie writes about a lot. And what's interesting about this story is that he doesn't show up until you're at least 2/3, maybe 3/4 of the way through the book. Mm-hmm. So usually he shows up towards the beginning. Mm-hmm. And apparently when they made a sort of film adaptation of it, they changed it up so that he started off in the story. But the story takes place primarily at a boarding school called Meadowood, which is this prestigious school where lots of fancy people go. And so it's primarily set there, but there's also at the beginning, there's a scene, there's like the prologue, which is sort of summer session is starting at the school. And then it goes back in time 2 months to the city of Ramat, which is this, I don't know if it's based on a real city or not. Some people think it's a Turkish city. Some people think it's from Yemen. But it's a, like, fancy city somewhere in the Middle East. And there's a revolution that's brewing. And this prince gives these jewels to his friend and pilot to make sure they're safe and not stolen during the revolution. Mm-hmm. And the guy takes the jewels and goes to his sister's place and presumably hides them in her things. But we don't know where or if it definitely happened.
Ooh.
And there's also a mysterious woman on the balcony that we don't know who she is, but there's some woman on the balcony that sees stuff going on in the hotel room. So she's suspicious too. And then he like runs off and he and the prince fly away trying to escape, but they don't make it.
Uh-oh.
So then it jumps back to summer session at this boarding school. And there's also, you get to see the inspectors and these people that are kind of keeping an eye on the place because they know that there are these jewels that are somewhere out there in the world, and they think they might be with the pilot's sister or her daughter who's going to the school. And then the cousin of the prince, who is maybe going to be the fiancé of the prince, is also going to be going to the school. So there's this idea that maybe the jewels would be being passed along to her.
Oh my goodness,
at the school.
Emily.
So they put this gardener in at the school. This guy is posing as a gardener to watch over the place. But at some night, there is a murder, and there's a new sports pavilion, and basically the gym teacher, I think she's called like the sports mistress or something, but she gets shot.
Uh-oh.
Perhaps she has seen something, or we don't really know. So an investigation starts up.
Whoa.
And eventually one of the girls at the school realizes kind of what's going on, mm-hmm. and that she might be in trouble. And then she like runs off and gets Hercule Poirot and brings him in. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, solves the crime because he always does. Mm-hmm. But there's also, you know, along the way, there's other bad things that happen. I won't say exactly what. Some mysterious things.
Who is your favorite?
My favorite character?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I actually liked any of the characters.
But they were still like...
I mean, there's some characters that are, you know, probably likable people. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fine. And there's some characters that are interesting. And I like Hercule Poirot as a detective. He's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I realized reading it, I think one of the tricks with a murder mystery is that even if you know, like, there's going to be another murder, perhaps, if you don't really care about the characters that much, it's like it's still suspenseful, but you don't really... If you don't really care about the well-being of the characters,
exactly,
it makes it a little less less personal or something.
Yeah, I feel you, Emily. But you should care about the characters in all good books.
I mean, I don't want people to be murdered in general. But, you know, when you really care about characters in a story and you're worried that something bad might happen to them, it adds this, like, tension to it. Which I never really felt reading this. Like, I was still very interested, and she does a good job of building suspense. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there were some definite moments in this book where I was like, yeah, good work. I didn't have a favorite character.
I feel you, though. I feel you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Guess what?
What?
I don't know. Guess.
Okay.
Emily's like, okay.
Oh, and I have another Agatha Christie, which I've thought about reading every Halloween since I got this book at some, like, used bookstore or something, because it's called
How
Halloween
many
Party.
How is that?
I don't remember. It's been a while. This book is really old.
But Emily read me an awesome quote from that book today.
Yeah, I don't know which part of the story this comes from, but it's in the, you know, on the first page when you first open. Yeah. You know how books sometimes give a little taste?
Yeah.
So it goes, "What happened?" said Poirot. His voice was sharp. "We found her in the end, in the library," said Mrs. Oliver. "Someone, you know, someone had shoved her head down into the water with the apples. Shoved her down and held her there so that she was dead, of course. Drowned. Drowned. Just in a galvanized iron bucket, nearly full of water. Kneeling there, sticking her head down to bob at an apple. I hate apples," said Mrs. Oliver. "I never want to see an apple again." Poirot looked at her. He stretched out a hand and filled a small glass with cognac. "Drink this," he said. "It will do you good." So I guess we know how somebody gets murdered in this one. But will it be the only one?
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's cool, bro. I like that quote. And the cover
the
of cover's the book
creepy.
Is
creepy.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to say. It's like a skull, but it's an apple. It's like an apple skull.
Ooh. True, true.
I like
but
it.
But I haven't read this one yet. And the font is very small.
It is really small. Don't you feel that makes a difference? Like, sometimes I can't really enjoy books, no matter how marvelous they are, if they have weird font. But sometimes, even if they're really bad, I like them more because they have cool font. And I'm like, I want to keep looking at this font, so I should keep reading it.
Yeah. At least it makes the book compact.
Yes, this is true. Compact books are very useful.
As opposed to my other book.
Which is very fat.
Which is very hefty. I think it's like...
I have a fat book too, Emily.
You do?
Yeah.
This one is 766 pages in paperback.
Ooh.
So I don't know what it was in hardcover.
I don't know how many pages my fat book is,
which
but
one
it's
was
Stephen
it?
King.
I was trying to find a nice, short Stephen King book to read this week. And all of the ones I wanted to read were like 1,050 pages.
Good idea, Emily.
I was like, that's not short.
Short Stephen King.
I did
book.
Read Misery when I was in middle school, and I thought it was great.
Great.
And it was not too long.
Oh, good. How long is not too long, though, for Emily?
I don't remember, but it's probably 300 or so.
Oh, it's like average.
That'd be my guess for how long that one was. But what was your big book that you wanted to talk about?
My big book was The Shining.
And that one's scary.
It is scary.
More scary than Curious Incident.
More scary. Lots more scary. And I'm not even partway through it. And I've been reading it forever, but we've been having to read all these books for school. Ugh. Anyway, I won't go there. There, it's not good. Anyway, I haven't been reading too much lately because of all this discouragement from school books. But anyway, it is very fat, and it is about a family that goes to live in a lodge place and keep it, like, under control, you know, like, just look over it over the winter, yeah? And the family is a guy and his wife and their son. And the son is scary as very scary. And the dad is even more scary. And in the movie, at least, the mom is even more scary because she looks really freaky. Or her character, like the actual character, isn't that scary. And I've seen the movie, so that's how I know, like, a lot of this plot. It's a very good movie. But according to Emily, I think, didn't you say the book was scarier, Emily? Somebody said that.
Haven't read The Shining.
You haven't?
Mm-mm.
Well, according to somebody, the book is a lot scarier than the movie, so I'm like, ooh. So they go to look after it, and the boy is really strange, and you don't really find out a lot about the boy, but he has, like, these visions, and he has weird finger stuff that he does, and funny words that he says, and everyone's kind of like, what? But he's wise beyond his years in the book, yes? I'm not that far in, but he's like, very scary. I see a small child in a tutu outside, and it's very distracting. Anyway. So, yeah, he's like, the parents, you know, are considering divorce or whatever. There's this really cool style that Stephen King has in his book, where he picks, like, one word or two, at least in the beginning of The Shining. I haven't read a lot of other Stephen King, so I don't know if he does this a lot, but he, like, focuses on this one word for a very long time, so it keeps on going, and the story's, like, progressing, but, like, in the beginning of The Shining, he has this word divorce, and it's a pretty scary word, I'm sure. The book gets a lot scarier than that, but the kid is, like, very aware of it, and he keeps bringing it up, and he's, like, but not, like, through speech, through his mind. He's, like, and the divorce word was floating around in the air, and it was very scary, and then the divorce word floated around some more, and it was very scary, and then my mom brought me chocolate, and it was pretty good. But then I don't know, but it's kind of cool, and it's kind of like how, like, in pictures, you know, they usually have, like, a focus point that you're, like, looking at. It reminds me of that, but in writing. Yes. I like it, and yes, it's a very good book. Yeah, although it does have this sort of strange portrayal of children that many books have, and movies too, where kids just know a lot of things that kids don't really know. Like, when I meet 4-year-olds, they're like, I bought a new Barbie yesterday. But this 4-year-old is like, the divorce word was floating around in the air, and it was scary.
Maybe that's part of why it's so creepy.
Yes, it's true. It's good. Yeah.
Oh.
Halloween-y.
So my hefty book is also very scary. And very good. I read this book. I forgot to bring a book on my honeymoon. Mm-hmm. And I got on the train and realized I had no books and was horrified. And
horrified.
So I had to pick out a book at the airport bookstore, mm-hmm. where you're somewhat limited in your choices. And I saw this big, fat book that I had heard was really good and hadn't read for a long time because it was a big, fat book and intimidating.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I guess this will last me through the whole trip. And it did. And it was great. It's such a good book. I like really looked forward to moments when I could read on our trip, as nice as the trip was. But so this is, I'm going to read the back because it's kind of hard to describe this book. Because as it starts, it says, an epic, and it is an epic book, an epic and gripping tale of catastrophe and survival. The passage is the story of Amy, abandoned by her mother at the age of six, pursued and then imprisoned by the shadowy figures behind a government experiment of apocalyptic proportions. But Special Agent Brad Wolgast, the lawman sent to track her down, is disarmed by the curiously quiet girl and risks everything to save her. As the experiment goes nightmarishly wrong, Wolgast secures her escape, but he can't stop society's collapse, and as Amy walks alone across miles and decades into a future dark with violence and despair, she is filled with the mysterious and terrifying knowledge that only she has the power to save the ruined world.
Ooh, that sounds awesome, Emily. And this is true. It's very strange. Emily has been talking about this book since we arrived at this station. She's been like, it's such a good book, oh my gosh. And I had no idea what it was about, but I really wanted to read it ever since like I saw it and she was like praising it. And I was like, I want to read that book, but I had no idea what it was about. And now she told me what it was about. And now I really still want to read it. Because it looks very good. And it's orange.
I think one of the tricks with this book is talking with it about it without making people not want to read it.
Yeah.
Though, because there is a somewhat vampirish element to it. But it's not. But that's the trick, is because some people hear the word vampire and they're like, no.
Nope.
But they're not. There's elements of there's some creatures in this book that share some things in common with vampires. Like there's a connection with bats, and they can't go out in the sunlight, and they are very dangerous. But I think they're more terrifying than vampires.
Yeah.
And they're maybe less human than most vampires seem in, you know, when we see vampires in stories, they tend to be like human-like, but they're
special.
But they like survive by eating people, and they can turn into creatures sometimes.
That was
like
a really good way to describe
vampires. Whereas these things are creatures that were once humans,
but
are now something totally different.
Right.
Yeah, they're pretty terrifying. I found, and it it starts off with you meeting Amy, but then it quickly cuts to the Bolivian jungle where you're getting you're seeing these email communications between someone who's on this expedition, the scientific expedition in the jungle, and a friend back home or a colleague back home. And at some point during these emails, the military shows up and he's kind of like, why is the military here? I don't know. And then he sends an email that's basically like, I'm writing this to you in case I don't make it back. I don't want to alarm you, but I have to be realistic about the situation. And he explains about how their camp got attacked by bats one night and several people died. And a lot of people who were bit or scratched during this attack are very, very ill. Then they radio for evacuation after getting attacked again, but decide while they're waiting for the evacuation to come that they're going to go off into the jungle and see if they can find what they came looking for. And then the final email just reads, now I know why the soldiers are here. And that's it. And then it cuts forward to this guy, Wolgast, who is charged with transferring inmates who are on death row to this, like, governmental facility where they're doing some kind of experiment that's somehow tied to this expedition in Bolivia. And in addition to bringing these death row inmates there, he's tasked with bringing this six-year-old girl there.
Oh, fun.
And he's kind of like, he's a complicated character, but that kind of
complicated characters are good.
Yeah, there's a lot of character build up in this book.
That's good.
But then it's interesting too, because I was reading it, I was getting so connected with these characters in the world, and then all of a sudden at one point it jumps forward like 100 years and you're introduced to like this whole new kind of new world, new characters. And I was really thrown off at first and wasn't sure if I'd be able to get sucked in for the, there's still like two-thirds of the book left at that point. But it worked.
It did?
Yep.
Oh, good. You get connected to the characters.
And it's scary.
This
character,
too.
The creatures are very scary. Mm. And you care about the characters, too. They're, like, more complicated, I think, than the ones in the Agatha Christie books. Well, so even if they're characters that have negative sides, they at least...
Yeah.
You can still at least feel something for them. So you really don't want them to get...
That's time to, make your characters marvelous when you have a really fat book as opposed to a not very fat book.
And there's a second book. I think it's part of a trilogy. And there's a second book that's come out that I haven't actually read yet that I'm curious about. I've heard it's not as good. But,
that's unfortunate.
But that doesn't mean... I mean, this is one of my favorite books. So a book cannot be as good and still be pretty good.
Is it your favorite book, Emily, because it holds
one of
special... one of your favorite books because it holds special significance or because it's a really, really good book? Or like a mixture of the both?
I think it's something to do with the intensity with which I read it, that I really got kind of like dove into this world and got really invested in the characters and the world building and these creatures and sort of the suspense of it all and where it was going.
That's nice.
It was very exciting.
Emily.
But I think he did a really good job of sort of developing the story and the...
Emily, you never told us what that book was called.
Oh, I didn't. Oh, it's called The Passage. Sorry. And it's by Justin Cronin. And it's not... Usually I talk about books for teens or kids on the show, but this one's a book for adults, much as The Shining by Stephen King, which Antonia talked about.
But
and probably the Agatha Christie books, too.
Probably.
And I don't remember if there's anything in this that would be considered risque, aside from, that it's horror. Scary. But
even the curious... incident, like, it's not like there's no like really mature themes or whatever, but it's still considered sort of like an adult book because of just the way it is. Yeah
So we're actually out of time and have to hand it over to the afternoon show.
Okay,
but we hope you all have a great week, a happy Halloween, and a happy reading.
Yay.
Come in. Who is it?
No.
He's a vampire. 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 He's a vampire.
He told me that.